another loving, happy Sunday morning. Everybody patching up their bruises from the big debate last night. I didn't watch it. I was out last night, but saw some of the highlights. Man, they got kind of brutal last night, the R's. Did you watch the debate, Chwani?
Let's see. 16. No.
That was the segment.
Oh, before. That's right. Okay.
That was the segment before. Thank you.
I did not 20, see the...
20 listens to the show in a 16-minute
delay.
It's
on our delay. It was on the delay.
yeah, I guess it was kind of brutal with the debate last night.
They really are ready to take the gloves off if they haven't already. I mean, and now, of course, with this vacancy on the Supreme Court, Ted Cruz and others already saying that this should be a referendum for the voters. Hasn't been in the past. You know, constitutionally, the president makes the appointment and the Senate confirms or denies that appointment.
Yeah.
Why should this be any different?
I found very interesting in your news the sound that we heard from Senator Schumer saying he's trying to find some document that says that, you know, that the being president is only a 3-year term.
Yeah.
That you know, if you're in the last year of your office, that you shouldn't make appointments. So it's been very, very interesting. I posted something last night because I was watching the coverage right after he died. The announcement came of Justice Scalia's death. You know, I turn on, I think it was CNN that I had on, and the reporting on him was just so one-sided. I've just found it very interesting that, you know, if you're going to tell the story of a person, it seems like you ought to tell the complete story, right? I mean, I understand that somebody's just died, and there's a certain amount of respect, rightfully so, that comes with that. But if you're going to tell the story of a person's political life, it seems like you ought to tell a full life. And that's really all I said, that I was surprised at the one-sided comments on this, which unleashed on my Facebook page. Just, you know, like the comment section on anything that's on the internet is that, like, always the nastiest, most unfiltered dribble that there could possibly be. Sorry, it should be, you know, it would be nice if it was, you know, diverse, polite, intelligent comments. It's not. It turns into, like, the nastiest name calling. And, you know, heaven knows, you know, I disagree with most of the decisions that Justice Scalia has written, but I would never say some of the nasty things that are being said back and forth on this, on both sides of this. People simply cannot have a civil discussion about anything in this country. Everything is just so mean and nasty. There's no such thing as polite dialogue, it seems, if you were to, you know, go by what's going on the internet. And that apparently is what we're going to get a whole bunch of in the coming months, as this political, as the search for a replacement for Justice Scalia turns into one of the biggest political footballs in recent history. My pal Paul Lisnick is the WGN-TV political analyst and joins me on the phone line right now. Good morning, Paul. Welcome to Love, Love, Love.
Good morning. You see, you were out. For me, this was the Super Bowl, these debates. This
wow,
was, you know,
it sure
bringing
was.
The popcorn, the chips, you know.
It was. So, you know, give me a, you know, a couple of minutes here before we talk about Justice Scalia.
Sure.
On the debates last night, because from everything that I've read about the nastiest debate that we've had so far, the most personal, I mean, punches flying all over the place. And this time, Donald Trump not only going after Jeb Bush, but going after George W. Bush and his family on top of it.
Look, this was like watching a bunch of kids fighting. I literally was with a group of folks, and there was a student who was visiting from Canada who said, "This is like me and my sister fighting." The adults in the room were John Kasich and Dr. Ben Carson. I mean, they were the only ones who just said, "I'm just not going there." So, yeah, it was punches being thrown between Bush and Cruz and between Trump and everybody. But here's the thing. The question is, why is that happening? And that's because everybody's looking to the vote in South Carolina, who it is they have to control, and that's where the punches were being thrown, with the exception of Trump, who was just throwing them at everybody.
So have they somehow determined that this will be a more effective way of reaching voters in South Carolina, this nasty, extremely negative approach?
Well, I imagine it depends what, you know, what the discussion is today, whether people are, you know, completely turned off by that sort of approach. In other words, as we watch where post, which they're not out now, but post debate polls start coming out, you know, did Donald Trump win? You know, who literally, you know, Trump took a huge chance, Dean. He last night brought up the George W. Bush, you know, was the one that essentially allowed that attack on the World Trade Center to happen. Truly, you know, went after Jeb and blaming his brother. And the thing is that, you know, your audience are Republicans. And in South Carolina, that's a very pro-George W. Bush state. In fact, W. is showing up there on Monday to lead a rally for Jeb. So Trump really took some chances in that. You know, months ago I would have said, well, that's going to cost him. But nothing costs him. So I guess we'll just have to see what happens.
Yeah, all the bets are off of, you know, any sort of reaction to anything that Donald Trump does now.
Yeah. I mean, Rubio and Bush had to kind of, you know, come through last night for Jeb. He's just got like another shot at this. He should do well in South Carolina. Again, bringing the popular brother in. You know, Rubio, after his terrible performance last Saturday night, he needed to have a stronger showing. And so that's really what was underneath all of these performances and presentations from these guys. But there's no question, put Trump on that stage and the fisticuffs start.
Yeah. Any surprise at how they reacted to the death of Justice Scalia?
No, not at all. There wasn't a one of them. Actually, no surprise. The one that was the most accurate in terms of predicting what's going to happen was Donald Trump. And by that, I mean, everybody else said, for a host of different reasons, President Obama should not make any appointments. He's a lame duck. It's too late. Do you think if George W. Well, forget George, but if the president were Republican right now, do you think for 1 minute that those candidates would have been saying, you can't name somebody to the court? They would have all been saying, that's the responsibility of the president under the Constitution. He has to.
Yeah.
So there's no question about that. Trump was the most accurate because what he said is, look, Obama's going to make an appointment. He's going to. So the only thing that can happen, Mitch McConnell, is delay, delay, delay. That's exactly the only way this plays out.
And I find that so interesting because, as I said, while I was not a fan of the politics of Justice Scalia and many of the decisions, there's no questioning, you know, his expertise of being a legal scholar. And, you know, was famous, Justice Scalia was famous for holding to the letter of the law, a strict representation, constructionist
yeah.
of the law. And if anything is a strict construction of the law, it would be the president doing his duty, which is what his supporters now don't want him to do.
Don't get yourself caught up in hypocrisy there, Dean.
Silly me.
Because otherwise you sort of pull the curtain back. I mean, there's no question. Strict constructionists, like Ted Cruz, by the way, who clerked for Justice Scalia, should have been saying, look, the Constitution specifies a duty for the president. Now, you know as well as me that listeners who are listening right now are going to hear this conversation. Oh, they're liberal. That's not what this is about. Whether the president is Democrat or Republican, the president has a responsibility to fill these vacancies under the Constitution. And the Senate has a duty to advise and consult with the president on what they choose to do. Now, they don't have to accept a nomination of the president, but it is his job to do this. If the Senate were Democrat right now, there'd be no issue as to the fact that there would be a replacement going through. If the justice we had lost right now was one of the liberals, there probably wouldn't be much of a problem in terms of proceeding. The reason this is such a huge deal is because the chairman of the conservative wing of the court has passed. And there's no question that he will not be replaced under a President Obama administration with somebody comparable to his worldview. So it completely changes the game. Decisions that coming out this term, which might have been 5-4 with a conservative majority, now go 4-4. And that means whatever happened at the lower court remains the same. It's as though nothing happened in the Supreme Court. So it's a huge decision. And I need to make one other political point. I mean, it's all about politics for me, which is if President Obama makes nominate someone, and if the Republican-controlled Senate blocks it, you're going to energize Democrats like you've never seen before in November. If the Republican-controlled Senate passes the president's nomination, you will be energizing Republicans in November like you've never seen before. I say on our morning news all the time that presidential elections are all about Supreme Court appointments. People kind of theoretically and esoterically understand it, but it's never been before such a front burner issue in people's minds like it's going to be this year.
Boy, that's for sure. I was reading something this morning that's also an interesting side to this. You had mentioned that the decisions that will be coming up, will be decided by the lower courts. And there are some rather pivotal issues that the Supreme Court were going to be taking up over the next weeks and months to come. But these lower courts that you say now will be in control of these many important decisions are overwhelmingly democratically controlled.
Well,
so
yeah.
It's sort of lose-lose for the Republicans in this. If they block a replacement, decisions on many important decisions will be decided by a democratically, overwhelmingly democratic lower court.
Well, the decisions we'd be referring to already exist, meaning that whatever lower courts have ruled, they've ruled and they're up. Let me just give you a couple of specific examples because you're absolutely right on. The immigration case, right? Remember, a lower court said, halt President Obama's policies until we decide what's going on. The prediction there is it would have been 5-4 conservative, meaning, you know, Obama's policies are gone. That now becomes 4-4. That's a defeat for the administration because it leaves the standing of the lower court, which blocked the president's policies, in place.
Huh.
And you can go through. There's an abortion case, also which will right now, that's about a Texas case that has restrictions in place for how abortions can be performed. And the lower court said those restrictions are fine. Well, that now becomes 4-4. And so the restrictions remain in place, which means other states might try and do the same thing. The one Democratic sort of leaning decision is the public sector unions case, because that one went up basically saying, you know what, non-members of a union who don't want to pay, the question is, should they have to? It was really predicted this court was going to knock down the requirement that non-members of unions have to pay, knock it down 5-4. That becomes 4-4. That one becomes good news for unions because the case that went up there basically says if you're a non-member, you need to pay. So you get it? It's wherever it stood prior to going to the court, that's what remains the situation.
Gotcha. Let me take a quick break here, open up the phone lines. If you want to jump in with some comments, hopefully much more polite than the ones that are on my Facebook page. Paul Lisnick, I got to think that you'll be on the WGN Morning News tomorrow.
I think you think right at 5:30 and again at 8.
Yeah, I was going to say, with all this going on, if we don't have a Paul Lisnick on tomorrow, we're missing the boat to
thank you, Dean.
Explain all this. So before I get to some phone calls on this, what do you think will be the political ramifications of this battle that's obviously about to take place? When the president made his did his speech last night about Justice Scalia, offered his condolences to his widow and his family, but also made a point of saying, I will be making a nomination in due time. Mitch McConnell and others saying, you know, that they're going to block whatever it is that the president's doing. What will be the political fallout of this whole thing in terms of how it relates to the election?
Well, first of all, when the president made his remarks last night, and I was watching as soon as he said, I will be making an appointment, I said sort of to myself, there it is, battle lines drawn. So, I mean, he didn't do that presentation to make that point because he didn't know what was happening already publicly. I mean, Justice Scalia hadn't been dead 5 minutes, and all of a sudden out come the comments about, you know, we will not take any nominations, you can't, all this sort of stuff, whereas this is really a time to be mourning the loss of a Supreme Court justice. That being said, as I kind of indicated earlier, this puts the selection of the Supreme Court justice, you know, we have moments of talking about ISIS, and, you know, what's the issue of the day, and it's immigration, according to Donald Trump. Well, guess what? Now the Supreme Court, makeup of the Supreme Court, just became a front burner issue. Why? Because with the loss of this justice, you have the opportunity or the situation that enables a true shift in the balance of the Supreme Court. That's major. That's generational change, Dean. This isn't just, well, okay, he makes an appointment for the next, you know, year, or this could be for the next 50 years, 40 years. So it's huge, and that's one of the reasons that the political conversation now will include this in the months going forward to the election.
Well, does this hurt one side or the other more, this battle that's about to take place? I mean, you know, voters have more than expressed their disgust with politics in general and, you know, business as usual in general, the obstructionism on both sides in general. This seems like this is going to put a magnifying glass on the battle between the two parties. Does it hurt one side more than another, or both equally on this?
Yeah, no, I think the way we find out who gets hurt is how this gets handled. As we chatted a bit earlier, if the Senate passes an Obama nominee, and that is to say, you know, puts them on the Supreme Court, and it's somebody of liberal persuasion, then look out. Republicans are energized. Republicans go to the polls. Republicans, you know, more than ever, you're going to see these huge turnout rates. But as I say, if the president puts out a nominee and it's blocked and the Senate won't even hear it and they won't even talk to this person, then look for Democrats to just go, no, no, we're fed up. And then you see all of them going to the polls in November for a Hillary Clinton or a Bernie Sanders.
Here's Ricky on the line to 312-981-7200 with WGN TV political analyst Paul Lisnick. Hi, Ricky.
Yeah, hi, Dean. I wanted to ask you, alluded to the CNN coverage being one-sided. I didn't get to see it. I wondered what did you mean by that?
I meant that they didn't put out some of the criticism of Justice Scalia through the years.
Very positive.
It was very, very glowing and, you know, very complimentary. And, yeah, you know, all of that for people who are fans and supporters of his. But, Paul, wouldn't you agree that part of what made Justice Scalia so controversial, you know, so much a leader on the Supreme Court, were his controversial decisions that affected women, that affected gays, that affected lots of groups of people? He was an extremely polarizing character. I don't think it would have been disrespectful to put out a full profile of Justice Scalia's legacy.
Well, I think Justice Scalia, you know, he was as colorful in his dissents as he was in his opinions. He'll be remembered for critical decisions like the Second Amendment case, right? He wrote that opinion for the court, recognizing the right to bear arms. But at the same time, his dissent in the Obamacare case, you know, where he calls things spaghetti, where he, you know, very colorful language, some would call it insulting. Though Scalia himself, by the way, always said, even when he was asked, you work with these justices, how can you say that about them? And he went, I'm never insulting anybody personally. I'm talking about their decisions. We're all good friends. So the bottom line to it is, I think it is future law students, conservative law students, who will forever be trained and learned in not only the decisions of Justice Scalia, but in the dissents of Justice Scalia. You said earlier, Dean, whether you agreed with him or whether you didn't, he was a brilliant man. And there's no question, but very ideological. So, you know, there are people who feel just the same way about liberal justices on the court. You know, they have the belief that they do, but there's no denying Scalia was truly brilliant in his work.
Yeah, and, you know, for as many people who admired him, there were, you know, those who disagreed with them. Some of the personal things that are being said about him seem incredibly disrespectful.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, you don't have to say, in the DOMA case of a couple of years ago, in his dissent, he said, get ready, folks, you've just opened the door to same-sex marriage. He was right.
Yeah. I've been reading some of his other writings about same-sex marriage and homosexuality in general, in which comparisons were made to bestiality and so forth. I mean, they're you know, he did not mince his words and of how he felt about things.
He's a very, very strong Catholic. I had a friend of mine who taught with him all this past summer, who's a law professor, and he just said there was no question in talking with Nino, as they call him, Justice Scalia, that his strong Catholic upbringing and views, you know, guided his thinking.
Yeah.
And so when you ask him about, you know, about privacy rights and all of that, he'll tell you there are no such rights in the Constitution. They don't exist. He thinks, you know, Roe versus Wade should be overturned, essentially because he believes in, as you referred earlier, strict construction. The Constitution meant what it meant in 1780, and it means the same thing now.
Yeah. Here's Zach on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, I was just kind of curious about your take on Ted Cruz and how he claims to be so constitutionally minded, but always is kind of, you know, contradicting himself with what he says, like with no legitimate reason, Obama shouldn't appoint a Supreme Court justice, or he's saying that his first act as president would be he would call on the DOJ to investigate Planned Parenthood, which, if I'm not mistaken, is impeachable.
Look, once again, if you're going to catch people in the hypocrisy of the things they say versus what they do, we can go on all day on that. Let me give you, you know, a very front burner issue. This whole is Ted Cruz a citizen thing. I'm not trying to open up that can of worms, but here's what's interesting. The fact that Ted Cruz was not born in the United States, it is Ted Cruz himself who, if he is a strict constructionist, which he is, he's the one who should be saying, I can't run for president, because the framers meant what they said when they said you got to be a natural citizen. They didn't say naturalized. They said natural. That means born here. Can't change that. It is Cruz who should be pulling himself out of the race. If that ever does get to the Supreme Court, interestingly enough, it will be the conservative justices who actually say, sorry, Ted Cruz, you got to go. It will be the liberal justices who say, no, you know what? The framers meant natural or naturalized. He would actually be saved by liberal
by the liberals
in that way, right?
Saved by the liberals. Joe, you're on WGN. Hello.
Hey, I want to know how that turtle Mitch McConnell can say they're not going to approve the person when they don't even know who it is yet. And that just illustrates the whole Republican ideology right now. They're going to say no to whatever it is if it's a Democrat. And if the Democrats are going to keep arguing over Clinton versus Bernie, this is what you're going to have.
Well, I don't think there's any question about that. I mean, I don't expect that President Obama will nominate Ann Coulter to the court. I suppose if he does, maybe they'd say, okay, we'll consider this one. I'm being facetious there.
He should nominate Bill Clinton. That'd throw every one of those Republicans would have a fit. They'd never approve them.
Interestingly enough, it wouldn't surprise me if Hillary becomes president, whether it is Barack Obama who one day gets nominated to the court. I can see that. I don't see it. I don't see the Clintons going on the court. I do see President Obama potentially ending up on the court.
I saw that quite a bit on social media yesterday. Real quick, yeah. Yes, sir, Joe.
Yeah, here's my other question. Suppose it doesn't get approved, or unless he puts someone up, doesn't get approved, new president comes in. What happens then to that nominee?
You mean if he nominates somebody, dies with the end of his presidency?
Okay.
Then a new president will not. So which means if the new president, that's what I was saying before. If it doesn't get through, then if the new president is the Democrat, well, then Republicans be going, oh, great. We might as well just take in the one President Obama gave us because now we're going to get that or somebody worse. Maybe the same one. We don't know what a Democratic president will do. But if it's a Republican president, then look for somebody in the image of Scalia to make their way to the Senate.
Paul will have much more. Thank you for the call, Joe. We appreciate that. And Paul, thank you for taking time. He'll have much more tomorrow morning on the WGN TV Morning News. We'll see you then.
Dean, you know, I always love joining you. Thank you.
My pleasure. Paul Liznick.